Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I want to make our listening audience aware of some articles that I have written. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will discover there some articles that I produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. We continue our exposition of 2 Peter. We come now to chapter 2 of this epistle. Whenever God acts, the enemy will try to counteract. Whenever there is the truth of God, the enemy will try to undermine it with lies. Peter anticipates this in chapter 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, that is, among ancient Israel, and there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. They will even deny the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. We'll stop right there. In its most generic sense, a prophet is one who is a chosen spokesman for God. A prophet is a vehicle of direct revelation through the Holy Spirit. Moses was a prophet of God, as were Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others. Apart from those divinely called Old Testament and even New Testament prophets during apostolic time and for a short time thereafter, there always during those times appeared satanic counterfeits. The Lord said, "They ran, but I did not call them." You see, Satan is the ultimate mimic. He's always in the mix, always seeking to divert people from the truth. One of his favorite strategies is to mix up truth with lies. And then some of his lies are big, bold lies just to fascinate the unstable. As I said, folks, it's just axiomatic that whenever and however God acts, the devil will always seek to counteract. And one of his strategies is to blur the truth. Satan will always seek to inveigle his agents into the church mix, agents who will tell people what they want to hear rather than what God reveals. That has always been, it is now, and it's going to be until Christ returns. It's interesting how Peter contrasts the appearance of false prophets among God's ancient people with the certainty of the appearance of false teachers in the churches. Read that first verse again. Listen to me. But false prophets also arose among the people, meaning the people of Israel in ancient times, just as there will be false teachers among you, referring to the church. These will secretly introduce destructive heresies, etc., etc. That juxtaposing of the two, putting side by side false prophets with false teachers in the New Testament era, that suggests that prophets will gradually recede and be replaced by teachers as the normative and standard gift of the Spirit in the New Testament church. By juxtaposing Old Testament prophets and New Testament teachers, the Apostle Peter seems to imply that the gift of prophecy, as was manifested in the New Testament church, would decrease in the grand scheme of the church, and the gift of teaching would increase. And as a matter of fact, historically, that is exactly what happened in post-apostolic times. Prophecy faded, it abated to the point that when the Montanist movement appeared in the last half of the 2nd century A.D., that's about 150 to 200 A.D., it was an apocalyptic movement with an emphasis on prophecy. The Montanist movement was already, by 150 to 200 A.D., already being looked upon with suspicion as a sect. But the bottom line here is this. Let God's people always be alert for these spiritual frauds. They appear in every generation. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 14, warned us of false teachers. He described them as deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles and servants of Christ. Nothing has changed about this, folks. He reminds us in that text that in accordance with Satan's habit of disguising himself as an angel of light, he always does that. If false teachers, friends, were always obvious to the saints, well, then their deceptions would not be so dangerous or effective, would they? They would not so easily lure the immature and the unstable into their fatal doctrines. These false teachers can be very clever at disguising error as truth and darkness as light. I think today you see many forms of it. I think you see it in this horrible prosperity theology that you'll see all over some of these TV channels. I think you see it in this emergent church movement, which postures as evangelical, but it's neoliberalism. And never forget this, friends. The best lies are not usually the big, bold lies. The best and most effective deceptions are truth mixed with error that emasculates and enervates the truth. I heard a very prominent woman preacher, and if you detect disgust and contempt in that, you're quite correct. She's all over TV. And the other day she said, as I was clicking by her and just stopped for a moment, "Do you know why God hates sin? Do you know why God hates sin? Has nothing to do with God. God's fine. Doesn't bother God. Not going to hurt him. The only reason God hates sin is because of what it does to you." My friends, there was heresy if you ever heard it. And here were all of these women and no few amount of men just sitting there in the audience, and I can't imagine, as I look at that woman, why in the world anybody would listen to her. I can't imagine what the fascination is, but the deception. And the same woman has said, according to sources that I know and trust, that Jesus had to die for his own sins before he could die for yours. What absolute heresy. But her books are everywhere. And then you've got this positive thinking thing. All this stuff is out there, and that's not the end of it. Well, Peter warns us of this fact. The best guide, it's been said, to the future is the past. That's because human nature is consistent, and because God himself is consistent. What has been in one form or another is now and will continue to be until the Lord comes and turns history on its head. You see, folks, false teachers will never go away. Because of that, we must remain perennially on alert for subverters of the truth. We've always got to be alert for wolves in sheep's clothing. And the problem with sounding the alarm is that people don't want to believe it. A lot of false teachers are charming. They're likable. And people who've decided that they're likable don't want to believe that they're toxic. And so you sound like some kind of John Bircher, a conspiracy theorist. You come along and you torch people's idols. I remember when I was growing up, back in my college days, in the American Baptist Convention. Those were my roots in the state of West Virginia. I was never precocious about many things, but I was, I think, a little precocious in my sensitivities about this sort of thing. And I think from the time probably when I was 10 or 11 years old, I tended to follow these denominational things and read denominational papers. And very early on, even though my father never got it, I began to sense that something was really amiss in that denomination, and they were not adhering to the truth. By the time I got to college and went to work one summer at the West Virginia State Baptist camp, where I had a chance to interview pastors and leaders in that denomination every week, much to the annoyance of some, I discovered that it was just shot through with theological liberalism. And I found that it was not uncommon for some of them to admit that they didn't believe in the deity of Christ. They didn't believe the Bible was the Word of God, didn't believe in the Second Coming. They didn't believe in anything that Christians historically have believed in. They didn't hold to an apostolic faith. When I would go back as a young man back to our church, and I would try to share that, you people, you've got to realize this stuff is out of hand. Well, they loved their denomination. They didn't want to believe that, because they didn't like the implications of having to admit it and where that would take us. It would just mess their nest. And so they chose not to believe it. And nothing has changed about that today. People have their favorite Bible teachers, they have their favorite TV programs, and they don't want to believe that a lot of these people are really, really bad. They're really out there. They're not Christians in any apostolic sense of the word. They mix up truth and error in a deadly way. I wish I could be a lot more specific, but I don't think this is the place to be so. But Peter is warning us, and I'm warning you, and I'm telling you that what it was then is now. In different ways, but the same principles. False teachers will never go away, so we as individuals must remain perennially on alert for subverters of the truth. They abound. The Christian church, and I'm using that word, the Christian church, by accommodation, because a lot of it is not Christian, but the Christian church as we know it in this country is full of unabashed liberals. By liberals, I mean theological liberals who reject the inspiration and authority of the Scriptures. Then there are others who pose as evangelicals in this emergent movement, but they assign different degrees of inspiration and authority to various categories of biblical literature. Some of them preach pluralism. You say, Jim, what do you mean by pluralism? Well, that's a word you should know. Pluralism is the idea, and most of you, I believe, do know, is the idea that is so prevalent today in our culture, that there are many ways to God. There's this way, that way, and some other way, and God is accepting of them all. If one is sincere, then we'll all come out the same way in the end. There are many paths, and all paths lead to the same God. Now, that is pure, unadulterated speculation, and there is absolutely and utterly no basis for that in the Scriptures. And in fact, the little monograph that I've written, The Finality of Christ, Exploring the Many Roads to God Myth, deals with that very issue. My dear friends, that kind of stuff is out there. It's all over the place. One fellow who professes to be evangelical and is a part of this emergent movement tells in his book, Generous Orthodoxy, that his daughter, young daughter, saw a Muslim lady in a burqa and said, Daddy, who is she? And he says, well, honey, that's a lady who loves God. And then another of that crowd wrote a book, Love Wins, and basically preaches universalism. In the end, no one is condemned. And then, as I said, you have preachers of this prosperity theology. That theology teaches you that God wants you to be rich and healthy right here and right now, if only you have the faith. And then there is connected with it this rhema, or word faith, heresy. These preachers objectify faith, spell that with a capital F. And faith is a thing. It's a thing basically so powerful and magical that even God is obliged to bow before it. It's a form of idolatry. Folks, these kind of people are all over the religious cable channels like Trinity and Daystar. And there again, they're mixing up truth and error. And then you have these, as I mentioned earlier, these feel-good, positive mental attitude preachers whose ministry has a superficial patina of the truth. Their music may be good, and they declare their loyalty loudly to the Scriptures, and then they refuse to teach the whole counsel of God. And then related to them, you have a whole host today of therapeutic pastors. And they're all about healing the emotionally wounded. And they never get down to the real issues that wreck lives. They never like to talk about sin and man's alienation from God and the need for a Savior. And I won't even mention a whole host of rogues and rascals who pose as ministers of Christ, but are out to fleece the sheep and serve their own agenda. And last, I would mention as members of this pantheon of false teachers posing as angels of love and light, the so-called Christian left. You often find these allied with the emergent movement. These folk would divert us from our gospel mission of seeking and saving the lost and building people up in Christ, to spending our time bringing about social and economic justice for the poor and the disadvantaged. They didn't get that agenda from Jesus nor the apostles. It's just a devil's diversion that sounds more godly than it is. And if you'd like to read more about my views on that,
go to jimandrewsbooks.com.
And go to my blog and on my blog space, and there, Word from the Pastor, find two articles that I've written on this whole matter of social justice. Folks, I've mentioned these. The list is not complete. I've mentioned them just to illustrate what Peter says. How false teachers muddy the waters. They confuse the church in every generation. They do the devil's work in obscuring our message. That's all to Satan's delight. However, remember this, as the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Timothy, the foundation of God stands sure. The foundation, the real foundation of God, has this seal on it. The Lord knows those that are His. He will keep them. For as Jesus said, let us never forget, everyone whom the Father has given me will come to me. That's not all. It is the Father's purpose that of all those I should lose none, but raise them up at the last day. But part of God's keeping equation is our part, in alerting as I'm doing. Alerting you, the flock, that small part of it that I have the privilege of speaking to. Alerting you, the flock of God, of the perils and the potholes in our walk of faith. We cannot be Pollyanna. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, because all of this is leaking into the vents of our churches. It always has, and it always will. Notice that Peter tells us that these false teachers will be, did you get this, among you. False prophets also arose among the people of Israel, just as there will also be false teachers among you. That's what I'm saying. This is part of the problem, getting people to be vigilant for their souls. Hey, we all know they're on the outside, but you see, Peter is saying they will be on the inside. They were, they are, and they will be tomorrow. It's easier for Christian people to believe that false teachers will be outside the church than in it. They like to feel safe inside the church. We dislike having to live on high alert all the time. We want to feel safe. We don't want to have to jump out every noise we hear in the house. We want to make excuses for all the odd noises that we hear banging around in the confines of our congregations. Hey, these people, they sound nice. They look nice. Well, that's the truth. And that's the truth. But it's all part of the devil's deception. It's the lies that go alongside. Go read again 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. For such men are false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, It is not surprising if his servants, Satan's servants, also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. The situation is similar to naive people who aren't used to being around the criminal element and the way they feel about bad guys when they meet them. I think of Hollywood types and that sort. When they meet criminals face to face, and the criminals are not what they expected, they don't fit the mental image that they had of criminals, so they imagine that these murders and these rapists and these predators are not really all that bad after all. It almost, I think, frightens them to believe that such bad people can appear so normal, even have, apparently, their good sides. Well, it's like that with evil people in the churches and false teachers. In many ways, they can seem very nice, even spiritual, even strike some who are less discerning as angels of light. But in fact, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. I tell you, I've said it a dozen times, I'll say it a 13th. Lots of folk just don't want to believe that. To them, it's just being negative, it's being a conspiracy theorist. It's unnerving to them. It calls for a level of vigilance they don't have the energy to maintain. To their minds, it evokes a level of suspiciousness that they find unseemly. But folks, the fact is the truth. And like precious diamonds and precious metals, it's all too important to be left to chance. The Bible teaches us, and here Peter is teaching us, we must be soldierly about keeping infiltrators at bay. That we haven't been very good about. And my, how we've paid the price. Every single one of the old line denominations, did you know, is dominated by theological liberals who've ditched the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's the same with their seminaries. Did you know that? To my knowledge, and I think my knowledge is accurate, not a single one remains in the hands of evangelicals. Not a single one. And the same goes for most of their church-sponsored colleges and universities. Most of them are rank liberal, yet Christian parents will reach deep and they'll send their kids to these religiously affiliated colleges and universities and they think they're sending them to a safe place. And there's nothing safe about them. And the remainder, I can almost assure you, are either headed that way or will be. Now, I could explain why, but that's a longer story that I have time to get into here. But a huge part of the equation of infiltrating heresy, false doctrine and false teachers, is that the watchmen don't do their jobs very well. They want to be good guys. They want to be well thought of. They don't want to be thought of as negative. They're not really wanting to be guardians of the faith, and we pay the price. So you can take it to the bank. I'm telling you, the situation is going to get worse before it ever gets better, if in fact it ever does. So my advice to all of you, if no one is looking out for you, you need to be looking out for yourself. And if you're in a church that seems rather indifferent about such matters, if you're in a church where there's no great emphasis on solid biblical teaching, much less guarding against false teaching, well, my advice for you and for your family is to cut your ties. Find a place where the shepherds not only teach the truth, but are on guard against false teaching. Well, we'll come back to this in our next study. Thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.